This is Life in the UK Part 4, and we're halfway through the Middle Ages. We're in the middle of the Middle Ages, and we were just talking a little bit more about life, law, and politics in this era. So during this time, people were becoming a bit more prosperous, having a bit more money. There were people who were no longer peasants, making a life for themselves in the city. And also the structure of what we now know as Parliament was also changing. So originally, Parliament was the king's closest advisors, who would be his Privy Council. We've heard about that in the news recently with Jeremy Corbyn, not going for a small crowd, a small audience with the Queen. And that's what the idea of Parliament was to begin with. So the King needed his loyal kingsmen to discuss the ideas of the day with. So he basically had a bigger group of people that he would listen to, and that was what was called Parliament, people that he would listen and talk to, Parle. Parle is a French word which means talk. And Parliament wasn't like we know it today. It was full of those people that were closest to the king. So it was your noblemen, your gentry, your posh people, and the people who ran the churches, those powerful people, those bishops and archbishops that were in charge of the church. But there started to be some rules about what the king could do, and him also sticking to the law. And this is written down in a thing called the Magna Carta, which was written down in about 1215, and it means Great Charter or Big Plan, okay, which said that the king still had to obey the law. Even though he was a king, he couldn't just go around killing people. Actually, he used to be able to do that because everyone just assumed that he was the king, so he was almost a god, okay? But now, with these rules that were brought in by the Magna Carta, he had to obey the law as well. He wasn't allowed to steal. He wasn't allowed to kill, okay? Magna Carta, though, again, there's been an anniversary of this recently, but it did protect the nobility, the people in power, but at the same time, it stopped the king from charging them too much tax, and which in turn they would have to charge to the people who worked on the land, and he couldn't make up any laws without discussing it first. Okay, so these days we have our main parliament and we have our House of Lords, and in a way the House of Lords is a bit like the parliament was then, because it was made up of the nobility, big landowners and bishops, whereas the House of Commons, you'd imagine that to be run by more common people, but common in the 13th century was very different to what we would consider as common these days. So there were still knights, small landowners, and maybe a few kind of rich middle class people who had done well in business in the cities and towns. So there were a small group of people, and only a small group of people were actually allowed to vote. They were generally voted in by their friends, so it wasn't really a democracy. The English law had also changed, though. It used to be just written in Roman, written in Latin, and no one could understand it because it was written in Latin, and no one spoke Latin apart from the people that were involved in the legal system. But more and more bits were getting written in other languages, French to begin with. But the judges were suddenly given more independence. It was made law that the judges had to be independent, not just best mates with the king. Okay? And they had to be independent from the government as well. Common law was for common people. Most of the country lived under that common law, even if they weren't allowed to be in the House of Commons. And the law is based on the UK legal system, in England rather, is based on precedents. So what's been written down before. And so when there's a big trial and someone makes a new ruling of things, people in English law refer to that trial as under the first person who did that law. In Scotland, it's slightly different. In Scotland, they were also doing the same thing, but it needs to be codified. It needs to be written down. So we've talked a little bit about identity, and after 1066, the old kings, the old tribe leaders were killed, and the nobility, the people who ruled the country, had most of the land after they'd worked out how much they got, came from France, okay? But they came over after 1066, and this is 300 years later. So even though they're speaking French, it's not really French as the French know it. It had changed, okay? And more so, people from France couldn't even understand what the English nobility were talking. And the English nobility didn't necessarily want to be known as French because we were involved in big long wars with the French. So you can't be against the French and still be French. So people were beginning to take more of their own. English identity was going into that gap, and the common people, the normal people, were speaking that combination language between the Angles, Saxons and Jutes, the Anglo-Saxon. Things were becoming to be more and more blurred, and by 1400, documents and legal documents and things that were written down for Parliament were using a combination of Anglo-Saxon and French, and then later these would have an effect on our own language. So for example, meat, when we talk about meat, we talk about beef, okay? We don't talk about cow, although cow is cooked meat, cooked beef, as it were. It is cooked cow is beef. And the French, it's because the French word is beef, okay? And a lot of food types are taken from French words. Next time, I'm going to talk about one of the people who was from that rising middle class that we were talking about earlier, who was one of those people who was suddenly able to write and able to comment on different parts of English life. And that guy was called Geoffrey Chaucer, and he was involved with the king's court. He was also involved a little bit with the middle classes, and he wrote a thing called the Canterbury Tales, which I'm going to tell you about next time.